Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I grew up with the Musketeers and Sunday night Disney movies with the family. How many of you did too? Yeah, I see lots of heads with gray hair raising their hands, just like me. I read an Associated Press article not long ago that announced that a California grandmother, who actually was one of the original Musketeers, was suing Disneyland because after she was robbed in a Disneyland parking lot. The parking lot security took her and her grandchildren to an office where they were exposed to the sight of Disney characters climbing out of their costumes. This caused severe emotional distress to her grandchildren by exposing them to the reality that the Disney characters were, in fact, make-believe. Now, there was another related case to this in Disney that Disney settled out of court when an Idaho couple sued Disney for traumatizing their children with the sight of Disney characters carrying their costumed heads. Talk about rejiggering your sense of reality. Getting used to a new reality. That's key to understanding the gospel lesson today. That's what the disciples had to get their minds around when the resurrected Jesus came among them. So, to help them with the new reality that Jesus did, he asked for a piece of meat. Now, a piece of fish to eat. He ate the piece of fish. Now, that perhaps might surprise you. Imagine then what a shock it was for the disciples to be confronted with the new reality that Christ is risen. That, again, that idea of a new reality and getting used to living with it is at the heart of the gospel message today. One of the unique things that Jesus did in this account is that he asked for and ate that food in front of the disciples. Now, if you remember back to the story of Moses in Exodus, when Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, we're told. And then we are told this. They ate and drank. They ate and drank. The reason for saying that, the idea is that after seeing God, these guys also ate and drank. We understand that to mean that they were still alive, just like all of us. And they were still human. Well, that's what Jesus is showing us and the disciples here. He is, again, fully human. But he's no longer limiting himself in the same way he did before. He has now defeated death, so he can eat or not. He can move through locked doors or not. He's in his state of exaltation, like we talked about last week. He's showing that humanity has been brought into the Godhead, not the other way around. The Godhead has not been put onto a human. It's humanity has been brought into the Godhead. Jesus is showing both his fully human and his fully divine natures in what is for the disciples a very tangible way. By doing this eating in their presence, Jesus again reinforces the new reality of death being defeated. Listen to that part again. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. By the way, take note that the disciples are described as both amazed and joyful. I know it seems odd, but then again, they are facing a new reality with their beloved Lord and friend. So both of these descriptions accurately fit that circumstance. And also remember, this is so hard for us to remember, but remember this. This is the first and only time this circumstance has ever been encountered by any human. It's been said that the heart can be too small to all at once take in such great joy. At any rate, Jesus did eat as they experienced their confusion and joy. And as he did, he was proving to them that he had a living, real body. Jesus uses the eating of the fish to show his real, live, living presence among the disciples. Now, that real presence has meaning for us today as well. As we come and take Holy Communion this morning, Jesus uses the bread and the wine to give us his real presence among us. This is a new reality by which Jesus comes to us. He comes to each of us. Jesus always shows up to give what's needed to those who follow after him. Even when our personal reality changes, we can count on Jesus himself to be present with us. That's part of what we learn in this lesson today. Jesus brings a change in life, a change in reality, because he has changed reality. Christ is risen. Death is defeated. And Jesus' real presence among the disciples makes them and us witnesses to that truth. The lesson today goes on to say that Jesus is sending them to all nations to be his witnesses. They are witnesses that understand the truth of who Jesus is, as was foretold by the prophets. Verses 46 through 49 say this. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Here is the heart of what the disciples and we witness to. That Jesus did come to earth to suffer and to die. The Christ, the anointed one of God, was to come suffering and dying, not in power and glory and might. He came to suffer and die on the cross for the sins of the world. Go ahead. Thank you. That's why in John's epistle today, he said, "Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he, Jesus, appeared so that he might take away our sins." It is for that reason. It is for that reason that Jesus came. And we and the disciples are to be the world's witnesses of this new reality. Whatever changes may come our way, that reality of witnessing to the life, to the death on the cross and the resurrection of Christ does not change. Witnessing isn't a matter of life and death. But it is a matter of death and life. And that new reality is what the disciples struggled with while Jesus noshed on his fish. in Valladolid, Spain, where Christopher Columbus died in 1506, there stands a monument commemorating the great discoverer. Perhaps one of the most interesting features on the memorial is a statue of a lion, and he is destroying one of the Latin words that had been a part of Spain's motto for centuries. Before Columbus made his voyages, the Spaniards thought that they were the utter limits of the earth. So their motto was ne plus ultra in Latin, which means no more beyond. No more beyond. In the statue, however, the word being torn away by the lion is ne, or no, making it now read plus ultra. That's because Columbus had proven that there was indeed more beyond the shores of Spain. Our new reality is Christ has risen. And that shows us that indeed there is more beyond death. It's the death of Jesus and his rising again for the forgiveness of sins that makes clear to the disciples what this new reality meant for them and for the world. There is more beyond. Jesus taking away our sin is what brings us life, brings us the true beyond. That's why witnessing is a matter of death and life. We're now witnesses of the life beyond death that we possess by Jesus taking away our sins, as John wrote in his epistle. Now, as to the disciples, as we talked about last week, they thought that death had won. And they were struggling with the idea of a new reality where death loses. They knew death, but Jesus was telling them, no, I am not held, I'm not bound, I'm not constrained by death any longer. I am life. And that was to be their new reality, and ours as well. Living life in grace and hope, and living in trust that indeed death has been defeated for the world, is the new reality. When we take communion, those words are said, given and shed for you. That grace is the new reality we all live in. But there are others around us that also need to know that grace is the new reality for them. So we live differently. We live as witnesses like the disciples. Now, remember again that being a witness is not being on trial. The person on the witness stand is not whose death and life is at stake. You are the witness of Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's the life of those you witness to. That's what's at stake. Our trial has been decided. And the verdict was guilty. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He was bearing away our guilt and sin and shame. As it says in the first reading for today from Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Our guilt, our sins have been, it's accomplished, it's finished. They have been wiped away. That is our new reality. And Jesus, in eating the fish before the disciples, was trying to give them and ultimately us a taste of the new reality of grace. Jesus' eating was an act of help and comfort for them. And again, when we come to Holy Communion, eating and drinking, we take in his comfort for the strengthening of our faith and for our lives as well. No matter what changes for us may come our way, the new reality of Christ's presence will never change. When we eat of this foretaste of the feast to come in heaven, by eating the body and blood that proclaims Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection, we are witnessing to the truth of what Jesus has accomplished. Our sins are wiped away. Our new reality in grace is made real because Christ is risen. In his name, amen. May the word